Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are indeed in the depths of the post-season doldrums, I do believe.
Yeah.
The decorations are still coming down.
Well, yeah. And getting transferred into other holidays.
Yes, and yes. So. And we are in that time of year where we are winding down, closing up shop, and most importantly, planning for next season.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yes, and the sketches have already been drawn.
Yes. So. Well, I've got to say, and one interesting thing about this time of year is that many haunts, including ones we go to, like to end their season with a flashlight or a blackout night.
Right.
And that is coincidentally, or not so coincidentally, the topic of this week.
It is.
So I'm really looking forward to talking about this. It's something we have some very some personal issues on, I would say.
Right.
We have an approach on this, but regardless, we do want to start things off as we usually do with our conference reminders to let you know where the nice people in our industry will be attending.
Yes, and if you have any to add to the list, be sure to send them to us.
That's right. Find us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly or Facebook at Haunt Weekly. We would love for you to give us ideas, topics, suggestions, and also, as mentioned, conferences that we may have missed. I am sure there are more out there. We do not know them all. We are not psychic, as I am constantly being reminded.
Yeah.
But anyways, conference reminders, would you like to do the honors, Crystal? Would you like me?
Sure. The first one is going to be Halloween and Party Expo, January 14th through 17th, right here in New Orleans at the Convention Center. There'll be 350 vendors, requires a business verification. So go online to HalloweenPartyExpo.com to register for this conference.
And if you are in town for this, if you are coming to New Orleans, definitely follow the aforementioned directions for connecting with us. We would like to meet. Maybe find a bar or find a restaurant or find some place we can hang out and talk haunty stuff away from the conference.
Yes, and we know all of the places the locals go. So if you're into that, let us know.
We can find you cheap drinks.
We can.
If that's not motivation enough to contact us, I can't help you.
Nope.
I have nothing else to offer. But maybe if New Orleans isn't your scene, you could travel to Hawaii for the Corn Party. January 17th through 20th is for the operators of corn mazes and corn-based attractions. It is on multiple islands in Hawaii. It takes place at several different locations, and you can learn more at The Maze, as themaize.com.
And then, January 26th through 30th, we have HauntCon.
Yay!
At the Sheraton Nashville Airport in Nashville, Tennessee. Tours of the Haunted Hell Nashville, Nashville Nightmare, and Slaughterhouse. More information can be found at HauntCon.com.
Yes, indeed. They do have early bird discounts, but I think they will be ending soon, or rather than
very
later.
Soon.
So
yes,
check those out. See if there are any deals upon which you wish to jump. If that is not your speed, then in St. Louis, Missouri, coming March 23rd through the 26th, it's Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show. It's at the America Center there in St. Louis. Early bird discounts at $50 off through March. Basically, you know, not buying your tickets at the door.
Yeah.
Gets you $50 off. And you can learn more at the Ha Show. That's HAASHOW.com.
Yes, and then it'll be June 8th through 11th, Midwest Haunters Convention at the Greater Columbus Center in Columbus, Ohio. They will be touring the Scaratorium and others. Check out their website to keep up on the information on that, MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
Yes, interesting. I just realized their current list of our current list of conferences, we have nothing on either the East Coast or the West Coast.
Nope.
We have a Hawaii one.
Yeah.
Which still intrigues the hell out of me. And we have, you know, Nashville, New Orleans, Columbus, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Like right down the middle of the country. So that's just interesting. That amuses me.
Right.
think that. But anyways, this brings us to our main topic this week, the tradition of blackout or flashlight nights in our industry.
Right.
And this is one we have partaken of multiple times. We've acted in a couple, I think. And all in all, pretty interesting stuff. The basic idea of this tradition is that typically there's one or two nights at the end of the season that come after Halloween.
Yeah, it's usually the first weekend of November.
Yes. In which haunts open up, but they turn the lights either off or they dim them way, way down.
Right. There usually is some kind of ambient light just for safety reasons, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Which we're getting into a minute. But
yeah. But I have seen one or two that turned out almost all the lights.
Right. Yeah.
Which made it difficult as a customer. Yes.
Well, as a customer, you're supposed to go through these either in the darkness.
Right.
Or with a flashlight. Usually a very, very tiny, obnoxiously sized light.
Right. Like a little finger light.
Like, Rise one year had those little tiny finger lights. And I'm like, where the hell did you find a flashlight this small?
I think that was actually a mortuary, but okay.
It was one or the other.
Maybe it was both.
I think multiple places have done that.
Why not both?
Exactly. But the point of the matter is, it's always amusing to me that they give you these tiny underpowered flashlights to go through it. Usually, these are coupled to some degree with special pricing.
Right.
Like $5 off, $10 off, or whatever. It's usually one of the cheapest nights of the year to go.
Yeah. There are a couple of exceptions where opening night is cheaper than the flashlight
nights.
Like
mortuary does that. Yeah.
Yeah, but usually it is cheaper because you're going to get, I think, less of a show, and that's taken into account for. It's also a motivation to get people out there after they've probably stopped thinking about Halloween.
Yeah. As we've talked about before in this show, we're kind of unusual in the United States. You go to Japan, you go to Europe, and elsewhere in the world, haunted attractions are a year-round thing.
Right.
I mean, our friend Kyle was in Japan this summer.
Yeah.
And he checked out, like, what, six different haunted attractions?
At least, yeah.
Something like that. And they were all open in summer.
Yeah.
And granted, he couldn't go to at least one or two of them because they wouldn't take solo customers, which I don't get. We need to get him on the show to talk about his experiences there.
Right.
He had some really, really interesting experiences.
Yeah.
I think should be shared with this audience. But anyway, yeah, we're kind of weird here in that we tend to put haunted attractions as just a September-October thing.
Right.
It's literally a month and a half out of the year, pretty much. And so, what flashlight nights do is they're sort of a way of closing out the season for many places. And it's a way of bringing it to some kind of cessation.
Right.
Sort of a going away party for the haunt season for a lot of attractions.
Yeah. It's also one of the few nights that if your haunt isn't doing after Halloween nights, that other haunters in your area can come and check you out.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a pseudo service and haunt industry night.
Right.
Which is kind of weird if you think about it. Hey, other haunters, come check out the haunt. By the way, you can't see anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll get into that.
We'll get into that in just a minute. So, yeah, it's pretty obvious what a blackout night is or a flashlight night is.
Yeah.
And I've heard it called both.
Yeah, I have too.
But it's always interesting because whenever you see the marketing for them, it's like, you've seen, insert haunt name before. Now, see it like you've never seen it before by not seeing it in the dark.
Yes, exactly.
It's kind of the pitch.
Yeah, it's pitched as more extreme,
as
more terrifying because you can't really see anything. But, you know, it's got its drawbacks, too.
Yeah,
so,
and yeah, we'll get into it. So why do haunts do this? Well, one obvious reason is that it extends the season another weekend.
Yep, bottom line is improved.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're a weird culture here. We tend to think of Halloween, tend to think of haunted attractions as just a Halloween-related activity, which means every weekend we can get in season is valuable.
I mean,
because most haunts here only operate 5 weekends.
Yeah.
Some stretch it to 7, and through flashlight nights, they can stretch it to 8. But think about it, if you're doing a 5-weekend season, and you then tack on a flashlight / blackout night, you just added 20% to your season.
Right. That's if you're able to get enough people to show up to make it worthwhile to even open your doors.
Yeah. Yeah. And, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, typically, like I said, it's done after Halloween.
Right.
So it's something that helps to disconnect it a little bit from Halloween.
Right.
The event from Halloween itself, and the Halloween season, if you will. It's a great way to target repeat customers, is one thing.
Oh, yeah, because it's a different experience
exactly.
for them, and that's how you market it.
Yes. It's not just a different experience. It's seen by many customers, rightly or wrongly, as the ultimate experience.
Right.
You know, you enjoyed our haunt previously. Now come do it for real. You know, come do it on the hard mode. Come do it.
Yeah.
And for the customers, that is a thing about bragging rights.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I went through the so-and-so haunt. Yeah, I did it in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
You know, and this is one of those things. And this is something I always have to keep reminding myself, is as a haunter, I do not represent or speak for haunt customers very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to acknowledge that. I have never been into the bragging rights thing about haunts.
No.
I totally made it through whatever haunt it is, and I didn't get scared once. Then what the hell is the point, man? It's not a bragging right.
Yeah.
That's obviously a crap haunt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Now, granted, we go through a lot of haunts and don't get scared, but we're impressed by other things. We're impressed by timing, by set design, by layout, by throughput.
Yeah. Like I said, this is another way that we're absolutely terrible haunt customers.
Yeah.
We are impressed. We enjoy haunts. We love haunts. But yeah, it's like the safest safe space for me.
Yeah.
It's like trying to scare me in my living room. It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
And that I admit that's a problem. But the great thing about Flashlight Nights for haunted attraction is, as you said, as long as the haunt gets enough people going through it to justify being open, it's a way to extend the season and do all these things and target repeat customers at effectively no additional cost.
Right, no additional cost or even less cost than a regular operating night because not all of the lights are on.
Yeah.
So your electric bill for that night goes down a little bit.
I'm reasonably sure that is like the most minor of differences.
Hey, it's still numbers, you know?
It is.
And if you have some big spectacular thing that takes a lot of power and you don't have to turn it on because it's scary in the dark, then, you know, you're safe.
Yeah, that is true. And also, you could save wear and tear on some of your props
right.
and other things because you probably will not be activating every animatronic and it's in a place where people can't see it.
Right.
You'd be kind of foolish to waste that
all
wear
that,
and tear on that power. If it's literally not having any impact because the lights are off, why switch them on? Why make them available to scare customers? They're not going to work.
Right. Yep.
So there's a lot of good reasons to do it, and I understand why haunts do it, just like I understand why haunts have been doing escape rooms and why haunts are doing interactive haunts and why the industry's following some of the trends it's been following.
Right.
It makes sound business sense.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we are about business and making money.
You know, the original tagline for this podcast was scary good money.
Yeah.
So
scary good business.
Scary good business, you're right. Scary good business.
Yep.
I think the first line would have been trademark infringement of Jim Cramer. But yeah, the point of the matter is, we are all about the business, and as such, I do understand all these things. But there are some concerns you have to factor in.
Right.
And the first and probably the biggest is fire code and other safety issues.
Right.
When you turn out the lights in a haunt, it gets 100 times easier for people to trip, run into things, have accidents, generally make mistakes.
Right, because no matter how many times you clear out the walkway,
mm-hmm.
there's always a possibility some customer will drop something going through your haunt. And the next group may get to it, whatever they dropped.
How many customers have lost shoes in your haunt?
Yeah.
Do the math now.
Yeah.
And realize now, those shoes will be on the ground in the dark.
Yeah, and could be trip hazards for the next group.
Exactly.
Especially if they wind up catching up to the first one.
Exactly. So, yes, there are a lot of risks there. And, you know, depending upon your local fire code enforcement, You're probably going to need to check your plan for this.
Right.
Well, it should not impact directly most things of fire code compliance, especially if the lighted exit signs and all the other stuff. And yes, that stuff still has to be turned on.
Yes.
But as long as you have all that, it really shouldn't make a huge difference. But, you know, we have local codes and fire marshals in certain areas that really ride on a lot of these issues. So be very, very careful about that. Be very mindful of that.
Yep.
And also be mindful that there is a much greater danger for the actors, too.
Yeah.
They, too, can crash into things. They can bump into people. They can...
Well, especially if... So some of the haunts that we've worked in, the customer-facing area was very, very safe.
Yes.
But the actor-facing area, not so much.
Yeah, like the one haunt where they were using like 2.5-inch screws with 2-inch wood.
Yeah.
So basically, the customer side, smooth as silk.
Right.
Actor side, bed of very tiny, annoying nails.
Yeah. So, you know, if you've got that going on, then your actors are going to be in more danger of getting hurt in the dark. Now, the thing is, just don't build like that. No. Build it so everybody's safe.
Obvious answer is obvious, Crystal.
Well, yes.
Don't do that.
But, yeah. Well, don't do that.
Don't do that.
If you do, just keep it in mind.
Yeah. But even without that, even if you do build, you know, completely safely, there is still a very real risk that people can... that your actors can pop around a corner and slam into someone.
Right.
You know, things happen in the dark that do not happen in the light.
Right, because it's harder for them to see. And right. It might also turn throw their timings off, because if they're not able to see the customers as well, then, you know,
yeah,
it could do that too.
And this is one of the most difficult challenges. You need to make sure that the haunt is easy to navigate for customer and actor alike in the dark.
Right.
Or at this new darkness level, I should say.
Right. You can't just build a haunt for daytime.
No,
for all your lights on if you're going to have flashlight nights and never test it.
Yeah. And I've seen, and I've been to haunts. I've never worked in one, but I've been in haunts that made that mistake.
Right.
In a major, major way. Because you go through, like... Under normal light conditions, everything's obvious. You know where the path is. You know where you're going.
Right.
And then we go with lights off. I'm thinking one of the Mississippi haunts we did this at.
Yeah.
Walking into every goddamn thing in the room. Because, A, they did not have adequate ambient lighting.
Right.
Because, blackout night does not literally mean blackout.
Right.
It does not mean literally shove people into a dark closet. You have to provide some ambient lighting. You're just turning off the main haunt and attraction lights.
Yeah.
The problem is they didn't provide adequate ambient lighting, and the haunt was not easy to navigate in a increased darkness. And the result was I walked into, like I said, virtually every countertop, every railing.
Yeah.
I found everything I could with my face and or my hips.
Yeah. It would be cool if we could use the, the bioluminescent paint for just the walkway. Like they're doing with some bike paths now.
Yeah.
Because then whenever the lights go out, the walkway is completely visible.
Yeah.
And bright. I don't know how many lumens it would provide, but you wouldn't get lost off of the walkway.
You wouldn't walk in the random walls.
Right. You'd be able to see if something was laying on it, too.
Yeah.
And it would be charged whenever your lights are on. Yeah. So, you know. Something for future.
Something to think about. You know, and I remember going to Waterloo.
Yeah.
Where they used the rope lights along the bottom. The entire... Right. How long was that? Miles?
Yeah.
Was illuminated by ground-laying rope lights. And so you could do something like that, too. But
right.
The main thing is the path has to be easily visible and easily discernible. I have to know every step where I'm going and that I'm not just about to walk into a wall.
Yeah.
And a lot of haunts like to have sequences and rooms that play with that, even during the non-blackout days.
Right.
And...
Mazes.
But yes, and all those seem to really do is frustrate customers and choke throughput by making sure everyone goes through really, really, really slowly.
Yes, because that is something that will happen, is if it's dark, people are going to move slower.
Yes. So, and another key drawback I find, and this is something I think you're free to debate me on if you want, is that I think it's harder to really scare on blackout nights.
Okay.
My argument is goes like this. First, customers are more on edge.
Yeah.
A lot of scaring in a haunt is making people feel comfortable enough that you can break that bubble and truly scare them.
Right.
In a blackout night, especially when you're advertising it and promoting it and pushing it as this ultimate experience, mm-hmm. you know, hard mode haunting.
Yeah.
Their guard is going to be way, way up.
Yeah. Well, I think that people who tend to be scared are going to be more scared. I think that they build themselves up to be scared more.
Yeah.
So I think that they could be scared easier. But I think for the general public, it's going to be more of trying to figure out where to go and trying to see.
Yeah.
Which is going to take away from your scare ability.
Yeah. Because that's one of the things about a haunt is when I know what the path is, I know where I'm going, and I know what I think I expect.
Right.
You know, because as I'm going through haunts, as a haunter, but also as a customer, I'm crafting my expectations.
Right.
Oh, I'm in like a hillbilly shack in a haunt.
Right.
I'm going to expect, you know, some stock redneck type characters and probably a chainsaw guy.
Yeah.
I'm setting expectations up. As I'm setting those expectations up, it gets easier for the haunt
right.
to wreck those expectations and to change them.
Right. It's like with comedy, flipping the script.
Yeah.
It's
harder to do that, though, on a blackout night.
Well, and as far as setting up expectations, we've been to a flashlight night where we thought it was going to be, like, really low ambient light, and we got in there, and we didn't even really need the flashlights, which, no. you know, just took me completely out of it. It's like, oh, now I'm just going through a regular haunt.
Ooh, the scary flashlight, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a disappointment that it wasn't darker.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird because, and I know we've mentioned this elsewhere, but you go to the darkness in St. Louis.
Right.
It's super bright.
Yes.
You go to the Abyss at Lynn Brewery.
Yeah.
And it's super duper dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the second darkest haunted, in terms of like, you know, ambient lighting, the right. second darkest haunted attraction I've ever been to. The first is in Budapest.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch, I don't think I've ever been in anything that dark in my life.
No, the caves were very, very dark.
Here, take this.
Yeah.
Hands me an actual, honest-to-God gas lantern. I'm like, why do I need this round the corner? Oh.
Yeah. Pitch black. It was like, awesome.
Other than the fact we nearly got locked in there overnight, it was awesome.
Well, yeah, there's that little, you know, thing, and we were leaving early the next morning to get on a plane. But, you know, but then we would have been stuck in Hungary.
Yeah.
So,
we could have made a trip of it.
Yeah, we could have.
But, yeah, the thing about it is this. It does make it easier to sneak up on customers.
Right, it does.
You're not so much worried about being spotted. You're not so much worried about, you know, these other elements of it.
Right. We could not see in the Abyss where the scares were coming from.
And they definitely took advantage of that.
They did. It was frustrating as someone who is in the design and build process to be able to look around and see that there was stuff there, but not be able to actually see the stuff, you know?
They clearly put a lot of attention to detail in some of the sequences.
Right.
Damned me if I know what any of that detail looks like.
Nope. Not yeah. a bit.
But, I mean, it makes it easier to sneak up on customers, but it really does limit what you can do for scares.
Yeah.
Because you can't really rely on the visual scares. Like, a drop panel is a double scare. You've got the noise of the panel dropping.
Yeah.
And you've got the sudden appearance of a person.
Well, the only way I can see that working is if you had your drop panel room.
Yeah, lit.
Lit. And completely dark from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So almost like a dark room for photography where everything's pitch black outside, but you drop the thing and then there's a bright light and a person.
Yeah.
You know, that could work.
Yeah. And, but.
But that's difficult to do.
It is. It's very difficult to do. And because of that, a lot of haunts that do black light nights, especially the ones that aren't built, you know, from the ground up for these types of nights.
Right.
They end up basically just relying very heavily on sound-based scares.
Yeah. And I mean, I know that we tried at one point to do a foot pedal light that the actor would turn on as the drop panel dropped. And it worked half the time, maybe a quarter of the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the reason, you're adding a point of failure there.
Right. In fact, it was the foot pedal that failed.
But you're adding a point of failure, but even if everything's working from a tech standpoint,
right,
you've got the issue that now you're asking the actor to do two activities at once.
Right.
And it may seem like that, but it can also feel like walking and, you know, like patting your head and rubbing your belly.
Exactly the example I was thinking of. Yes.
It's not walking and chewing gum. It's patting your head and rubbing your belly. Yes, it sounds super easy and you can do it with some thought.
Right.
But it's not as easy as just doing one thing. And especially when you're factoring in that they're also making judgments about timing. They're making all these other calculations are happening.
Right.
It really complicates the calculus.
It does.
So, yeah.
So make a drop panel that falls onto its own switch. Got it.
Got it. All right. Hey, idea made. One other thing you lose a lot of in these types of haunts, and these types of nights, rather, is customer interaction.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult to introduce characters and story elements and so forth when it's nearly completely dark.
Right. Because I can't see you. I can't really interact with you.
I mean, I can hear you. And you can talk to me, I guess, but it's not really an introduction.
Right. Whispers would be really creepy.
Yes.
In that setting.
There are ways to use it, to be clear. But yeah, if you have...
But like as far as full-on character interaction.
Yeah, if you have like a main character you want to introduce inside the haunt, that's going to suffer in a big way on a flashlight night.
Unless you have the lights on in that one room.
Yeah, but then you don't have a full-on flashlight night.
Yep, I know. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's one of the ways you could get around that.
He's either going to have to be front of house and line actor, or he's going to have to, like you said, just not be a part of it or be separate from the flashlight night.
Right.
This also tends to choke throughput.
Yeah.
Customers simply go through darker haunts more slowly.
Yep.
And that means slower customers, means fewer customers per hour, that means lower throughput. That means that basically, you know, your ability to make money is choked a little bit on these nights.
Right.
Now, that being said, it probably isn't choked to the point it isn't worthwhile, especially considering that this is a post-season thing.
Right. I've never been to a haunt post-season and see them have really long lines.
Gangbuster lines.
We went
back to Rise this season, and Rise had a very good season by all accounts.
Yeah,
but yeah, their post Halloween crowds were not super long and not super thick.
No,
they were solid, especially for the time of year. But you know, I definitely seen them much busier.
Right.
How's that?
Oh yeah, yeah. We didn't have to wait in line at all for any of the attractions had we done more than the one that we did.
Yeah. We could have done them all pretty much without any wait.
Right.
So yeah, it was not a huge gangbusters night. So maybe that throughput isn't an issue.
Because I don't think it really is.
If you're not going to fill the capacity you have, your throughput doesn't matter.
Right.
Throughput matters when your capacity is filled. When you have that line.
Yeah.
When you are filled up. Now here's the thing. You want that throughput year round because you're only going to be that slammed a couple nights out of the year.
Right.
And so if you are not working on your throughput, you're not going to be ready.
Yeah.
But still, point remains, it's probably not a huge deal given the time of year these nights typically happen, but still it's something to consider when you're deciding whether or not you want to do these types of nights.
Right.
And I think, for me personally, I think some customers, a flashlight night or a blackout night's a worse experience all around.
Yeah.
If you're there for an immersion, for an immersive experience, if you're there to look at props, sets, decorations, makeup jobs...
Get that character interaction.
Get that interaction. You're going to miss that.
Yeah.
This is going to be an experience of going through a very, very dark place that could be just about anywhere.
Yeah.
And people jumping out and trying to scare you.
Right. And we actually do not do flashlight or blackout nights anymore. Mm-hmm.
Not unless there's a power outage, which has happened.
Yeah. Unless it's No, I'm talking about when we choose to go haunt.
Sorry, I'm talking
about... We have not chosen to go to a haunt on a blackout or flashlight night.
No, we avoid them.
Other than the few times that we did, and then we learned, hey, it isn't scarier. We don't get to enjoy the stuff that we like to look at. And a lot of people... I didn't hear as many screams at either of the flashlight nights we did.
Yeah, when we done...
Because we did on during season,
yeah,
and on flashlight night, and yeah, the flashlight night was frustrating too at one of them in particular, because we were trying to see the props and stuff and trying to get real close, and they had
security
area guides,
yeah,
keep rushing us on. It's like, you can't stop here.
Okay, they could have been costumed, they could have been security, I don't know, it was dark.
Yeah.
But yes, someone was saying we couldn't stop here. And I get that. They're trying to keep the line going and can maintain their throughput. But at the same time, we're trying to see.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a throughput issue or if it was a safety issue that they didn't want people hanging around inside there very long.
I don't have the answer to that one to you.
Yeah.
But you're right. And I think one of the reasons you don't hear as many screams, at least in my experience, and please, you know, once again, contact us with your experiences.
Yeah.
We can only speak to ours. But one of the reasons when I think that a lot of the haunts we've done the Blacklight Nights on have struggled is because of that more limited scare.
Right.
They can't do some of the visual scares. They can't do some of the things they had. So the scares wind up becoming a variation of a theme, which is make some kind of noise and, you know, sneak up on people, make a loud noise, retreat, repeat.
Right.
And like we talked about, an Abyss of Limb Brewery is like blackout night every damn night.
Yeah.
There is no blackout night there.
No.
And that's just the haunt. But they had the same scare over and over and over again. That is little right. gas cans.
Right.
With rocks in them.
Yep.
Yes. They make a hell of a lot of noise.
Yes.
Do not get me wrong. They are very startling. But by the 30th or 40th time they've slammed one next to you,
yeah,
it's like, it gets old. But you realize that you're in this blackout cave underneath St. Louis. There are no lights. This is all the actors can do.
Yeah.
This is really the only scare they have that's working, because they can only yell "Arg" so many times.
James is going to beat you up.
I know, James, please don't hit me.
He just died a little.
I know. They yelled "Boo" a lot. They yelled "Boo."
That's not better.
Constantly. But no, yeah, no, they didn't yell "Boo." They yelled random stuff. But
yeah,
they can't do that, you know, forever.
Right.
So they gave him the they gave him the gas cans. They gave him this like basically adult maracas.
Yeah.
And have him slam them against walls, slam them on tables, slam on the ground. But yeah, it grew weary. The first few times, very effective.
Mm-hmm.
The 40th time,
it should have been a tambourine.
Exactly. It grew so old.
Yeah.
Okay. But on that note, some tips and suggestions for doing your flashlight night, if you're going to do
it. All right.
And this is based upon our experiences, having gone through them and been in them.
Yeah, caveat.
Yes. One, target your current customers for the marketing.
Yeah.
This is not something to bring in new customers for.
No, because they may not like it as much.
They're going to miss out on significant portions of what your haunt is about
right.
by going through it this way the first time.
Yeah.
Because you want your new customers to see your hard work. This is for the people that have gotten that previous experience,
mm-hmm.
enjoyed it, and want to come back and do a slightly new one, a slightly
right.
different one. That is who this is ideal for. So, you know, when thinking about marketing your blackout nights, target your existing customers extremely. Get the mailing list of online ticket orders.
Right.
You know, get, you know, your guest book, your information from your previous people that have been through. They're the ones that are going to benefit the most from this.
Right.
They've seen it. They know what it's like. They know what you're about. Now this is something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously pair it with discounts.
Yeah.
If, and I think one great way to do this and to encourage, like I said, those repeat customers to be the ones to do it is to offer anyone on your emailing list that has ordered a ticket previously that season a
right.
good discount to go on your flashlight night.
Yeah, a bounce back.
Exactly.
It's a bounce back coupon. And basically, the other thing you could do is you could actually pair it when they buy their first ticket.
Yeah.
Is, hey, you're buying this now. Would you like to buy one for the Flashlight Night too? At like half off or something.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, well, if they don't show up, you've already got their money.
Yeah. And it's their fault.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you can do stuff like that as a way to reach out to those customers who have already been and are loyal enough to you to want to come back, but maybe don't want to just do the exact same haunt again.
Right.
That's who this reaches, I think, best. Now, if you have flashlights with your blackout night, which most of them do these days.
Yeah.
Use those flashlights to your advantage.
Right.
You control them. You control who has them. You control, you know what I mean? Everything about them. Use them to signal your actors. And right. One of the really great ones, we heard about this, I think it was Rise.
It was Mortuary that did it.
Mortuary did it, okay. I can remember who did it. Mm-hmm. But they used color coding to signal the actors.
Right. So if there was a drunk group going through, they would have red flashlights. If they were all chill and cool, they'd have blue, you know, little finger lights.
Yeah, and then if they were particularly easy scared, they would get a red one, I believe it was.
Yellow.
Oh, they got a yellow one.
Yeah, red was for warning the actors that this group might be trouble.
Okay. But yeah, use the color coding to signal the actors. Let them know what's coming. If this is a group that's going to be really good to scare, let them know. That way the actors can really target that group.
Yep.
If they're, like I said, potentially a troublesome group, warn them. This is something that you don't get a lot of in regular season. It's very hard to communicate to actors, you know, what groups are great to scare. You've got that opportunity here. Use it.
Right.
One idea also that I've seen, and this one doesn't work as well because groups tend to shuffle as they go through a haunt, but give a flashlight to the beginning and to the end of the group.
Yeah.
And the reason is that shows the actors where the middle of the group is, which can be something very difficult to see in the dark.
Yes, it can.
So you give them a visual cue as to where the middle of the group is, they can target there.
Right.
Now, like I said, that doesn't work 100% of the time because usually one flashlight does stay at the front of the group.
Yeah.
They got to see where to go. But that back flashlight could wind up in the middle of the group or elsewhere as the group shuffles as it's going through.
Yeah.
And I have been a part of many, many groups because we often go through haunts with strangers.
Yes.
Deliberately.
Yeah.
We try to piggyback on other people's groups. We're those weirdos. Mm-hmm. But how many times have we been in a haunt and then the group goes, oh, I'm not going first. You go first.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you're just shuffling the group.
Yeah, you're shuffling the group. And once you're inside, if a scare some people, they will run around you.
Yeah.
You know.
And that actually happened to us at the Freight Trail.
Yeah.
We got nearly run over by a group by a scare behind us.
Yeah.
Now, there was actually one time we just simply left a group behind.
Right.
They got scared. Someone in the middle of the hall, I can't remember what it was. Something scared them. They didn't want to move forward. And we said, okay, we'll go first.
If
you're that scared, we'll go first. We want to keep moving. So we went first, and then we looked back, like 20 feet later, and the rest of the group wasn't there, so I have no idea what happened to them.
Yeah, no. Zombies.
We really should have waited for them.
Zombie clowns with chainsaws, that's what happened to them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's just a few ideas on how to, you know, use the flashlights to your advantage. Do focus on scares with strong sounds. The scares with strong visuals are not going to work unless you are going to light them.
Right.
But to that end, a blackout does not mean no light.
Of course not.
And this is something that a few haunts seem to not understand, and I worry about that. But yes, it means lower light.
Right.
Maybe even very low light. But like you said, you need that ambient lighting to see where you're going, and you can still use lighting sparingly to draw attention to things.
Right.
Like one of the best scares I actually saw in a flashlight night, we were going through a kitchen sequence, I believe it was, but they had something on the table that was lit.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a music box or something on the table. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Couldn't really see what it was because it was a flashlight night.
Fair enough.
But it had a light, something was lit up on the table. And so naturally and instinctively, your eyes like looking at the light.
Right.
That gives the actors a chance to get behind you and be very comfortable about where you're looking in the room. and then use that to startle you.
Right.
Because that is one of the things that you have to consider, is on a flashlight night, the actors are going to have a much more difficult time knowing where people are looking.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, is even though you would think people are going to look where the flashlight is pointing, especially if there's only one flashlight per group, you can't bank on that.
Right, so you're saying that lighting is important even in flashlight situations?
Yes, I am. I'm saying it's very important. Obviously, also, don't turn off digital effects that you might have.
No, because that provides extra ambient light.
It provides extra ambient light. It's part of the haunt experience. And frankly, that can be some of the more memorable stuff.
Right.
And if you have specific props and things that you want to show off, consider spotlighting them. You know, localized lighting in those cases.
Yeah, that's why we got told to keep moving, was because we could see there was a big animatronic that we hadn't seen in person, and we couldn't see it, yeah. and we just got shuffled out of the room.
Yeah, and that was really, really frustrating. So, our general thoughts on them. If you couldn't tell, as haunt customers,
yeah,
we're not really fans.
No.
I'm sorry. And part of that is, like I said, we are not typical haunt customers. I acknowledge that my haunt customer experience does not speak, cannot speak, and will not speak for the majority of haunt customers.
Correct.
I recognize that. But we really do enjoy haunts for the ambiance, for the atmosphere,
right,
for the set design, the makeup, the costuming, yeah, the immersion effect of
it. We want to see the work that you put into it. Let us see it.
Yeah. It gets really, really frustrating to go to a haunt and knowing and being conscious that there are scenes that took a lot of work.
Right.
And there is immaculate detail and there's makeup jobs that are really impressive, and then not being able to see them.
Yeah.
It's
very frustrating.
It's very frustrating to me because that's why I go to haunts. Do I go to haunts and hope I'll get scared? Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not impossible to get God. That's not my claim.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm pretty much impossible to, A, put in, like, the deep, I'm peeing on the floor terror.
Well, yeah.
I'm not going to have that happen to me because, like I said, this is my safe place.
Yeah.
I feel safe here. It doesn't mean I can't be startled. It doesn't mean I can't get God.
Yeah.
This isn't like me being macho.
No.
But it's...
Startle is a reaction. It's a fear reaction.
Exactly.
Everybody has it. You can't suppress it.
If you do not have a startle reaction, how the hell have you been alive as long as you're alive?
Yeah.
That is like a basic evolutionary thing.
There might be a few people who don't, but yeah.
But you know.
Everybody has some kind of fear reaction.
Yes. But it's very, very frustrating not to be able to...
I shouldn't say everybody.
...participate in the haunt the way we want to.
Yeah.
And frankly, for me, the scares tend to get monotone on a flashlight night. And that's kind of been my experience with every flashlight night, with only a couple of exceptions. It starts out really tense, really exciting, really interested, and then after about three or four rooms, it gets old.
Yeah.
We're looking at the same darkness. We're seeing the same non-detail.
Right.
We're getting hit with the same scares over and over and over again because of the limited visibility.
Right. And some of the ones that we went through both during regular season and on flashlight night, they cut the number of actors in like half. So we knew we weren't seeing as much or getting as full of an experience.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, saved them money if they pay their actors.
Yeah, but how many times can we be hit by a slam, by an air cannon, a scream in our ear, or whatever?
Right.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Over the long haul. Even if you have a shorter haunt, like say you have a 10-minute haunt,
mm-hmm,
that still is a long time to hold interest.
It is.
In a largely black space.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just to get an idea of it, stare at an off TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'd rather not.
I mean, it's not that bad going through a blackout haunt, but you understand what I mean. When you're looking at the same darkness and you're getting the same scares over and over and over again, it gets tiresome.
Yep. Uninteresting.
Still, though, I will say this. There have been a few blackout nights I did really enjoy.
Okay.
It's not like it's universal. The ones that have done it best for me use the darkness as a form of nothingness.
Right.
To build tension.
Yeah.
Because there were portions that were completely dead. No background music. No light. You're just moving forward through this haunt. and you now know something's going to happen.
Right.
And you have that anticipation.
Well, yeah, it's like playing a video game or watching a movie. You know, if it's quiet and then the scary music starts up, you know something's about to go down.
Yeah. It's about to get real.
Yeah, because that's your expectation. That's the expectation that we have from all of the other media we consume.
Yeah, you can use that. But that's the thing is, because of the boredom problem I just talked about,
right.
Haunts that do blackout nights typically are very scared to not be constantly attacking the customer.
Right.
It's scared. It's scared. It's scared.
Well, haunts tend to have that in...
In general, yes.
In general, they don't build in enough attention. Suspense time.
No. Yeah, I agree with that. That's a general problem, but I think it's amplified
yes.
a lot on blackout nights.
I would agree with that.
Because 30 seconds of nothing in a haunted attraction is a lot of time.
It is.
And it builds up an amazing amount of tension. People... I know even I get anxious
right.
at that.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, nothing has happened. Nothing has jumped at me. Nothing has tried to scare me.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little freaked now.
You know when things are too quiet?
Exactly.
That little inkling you get? You know, especially like whenever I was watching my little brother. We don't have kids, but I've heard that parents have this experience. Whenever their kids are quiet in the background or my brother was quiet... I knew he was up to something.
Yeah.
Something was going to happen.
Yeah, so kids, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't want your parents to know you're up to no good, keep making noise.
Exactly.
That's some
I don't know why kids would be listening to this, but sure, why not?
This is some terrible advice from Monkey Jonathan. feel free to send the legal bills to Haunt Weekly. Anyways.
No.
But the point remains, they focused heavily on building that tension, and they also focused heavily on attacking other senses.
Right.
Because that's the thing. There's this weird instinct to just simply, instead of keep attacking sound.
Right.
This is a great opportunity to integrate scent.
Yes.
This is a great opportunity to enter more tactile things.
Right.
You don't have to be a touch haunt. You can use feathers. You can use other things. Attack those other senses.
You can use weird stuff that you have to push out of your way to walk through.
Yeah. Oil socks, we found out, were really great for that.
Yeah. That. I've also seen several haunts use wet fur.
Yeah. But yeah, attack those other senses, because I mean, okay, I'm not going to believe that they're heightened by merely being in darkness for 30 seconds or so.
Right.
But you're definitely paying closer attention to them.
Yeah.
And so when something feels wrong, when something smells wrong.
Right.
It adds to the unease more than it would if you had the sight to lean back onto.
Right. So what you could do is you could do that stepping on the roofing stuff from the haunted puddle,
one of the
good ideas, in the darkness, in a short corridor, with stuff that you have to push out of the way that's all wet and gross and slimy, with little bells at the top of it so that whenever you push it, you're also making a little jingling sound.
Yeah.
And put the smell of death in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is, I think that's one of the reasons, because haunts tend to be almost exclusively sight and sound experiences.
Right.
They don't play a lot with touch, as much as I think they should.
Yeah.
And they play very little with smell, which is unfortunate, because as noted at HauntCon, they've made some pretty messed up smells.
They have, and I think that those are beginning to make their way more into the market, but since it's seen as a consumable item that you can't reuse every year, it's going to be difficult, especially for smaller budget haunts, to get into that.
Yeah, it is. I agree with that. And but still, and that. But the thing about it is that since we are primarily attacking two senses constantly, we take away one of those senses on a blackout or flashlight night,
which
is severely limited, we're down to just one sense.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that.
So that, if you want to bring some of that immersion back, that's the line I think you should be considering.
Right.
But yeah, and the other thing is just let the actors get creative.
Yeah.
The actors are going to have to completely rethink and readjust their scares.
Right.
I mean, You know, I used to love being the guy in the black morph suit that scared the crap out of people in dark rooms.
Yes.
I was that jerk. I was the stealthy kind of haunter. Mm-hmm. I mean, now I'm a front of line actor. I don't play those games anymore. But when I was haunted, when I was in the haunt, that was my favorite thing to do, was mm-hmm. be stealthy and rely upon that. Because it turns out marching band is really good for learning how to walk quietly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know. But the point of the matter is, that scare would not work in a blackout room.
Mm-hmm.
Because every scare is that.
Yeah.
When you're doing a blackout haunt. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a situation where you have to think about how the actors are going to make their scares work. Give them even more leeway. Mm-hmm. Is what I would say do.
Yeah.
Tell them to figure out how it's going to work. And that's a tough challenge, because typically you only have one or two flashlight nights a year.
Right.
And so you're telling the actors, and this is something else to consider, you're telling the actors, by the way, the scare that you've done all season, we're about to take that away from you, and you've got one or two nights to figure out how to make a new one work.
Yeah.
Godspeed.
Yeah. Have fun.
Have fun with it. That's tough. So be prepared to give your actors a lot more leeway in how they pull off their scares. They're yeah. going to have to sort it out. The good actors will still do great. They will still shine. The mediocre ones are going to probably really struggle.
Yeah, they'll need some extra help.
They're probably going to need extra time to figure it out. And I don't know how we're going to do that if we're only doing
two nights
yeah. of it, one or two nights. So I don't have a good answer for that one. But yeah, just be prepared to give your actors extra leeway. And that's pretty much all I have on this topic. I think we've covered it pretty thoroughly.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts? Any additions you would like to make on this topic?
No.
Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us once again. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, episode 50, discussing blackout haunts / flashlight nights. Mm-hmm. We will see you guys next week. In the meantime, once again, follow us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly or on Facebook at Haunt Weekly. We'll see you guys next week.